Netflix began not with a flash of genius, but with a simple question. What if we mailed ourselves a CD? In 1997, Mark Randolph and Reed Hastings were carpooling to work, brainstorming business ideas during their commute through California's winding roads. After countless rejected concepts, they wondered if DVDs, a new technology most Americans hadn't even seen yet, could survive postal delivery. When their test CD arrived unbroken, Netflix was born. This origin story shatters the myth of the eureka moment that supposedly launches successful startups. Instead, Netflix emerged from persistent iteration, analytical thinking, and the willingness to test seemingly mundane ideas. The company that would eventually transform global entertainment began with two entrepreneurs mailing themselves a CD and thinking, this might actually work. What's fascinating is how accidental their revolution was. They weren't visionaries predicting streaming or binge-watching culture. They simply identified a practical opportunity. DVDs were small enough to mail cheaply, and the rental market was dominated by a competitor, Blockbuster, that many customers actively disliked. Sometimes innovation isn't about predicting the distant future, it's about solving immediate problems with the tools currently available. Mark Randolph's childhood was shaped by watching his father build model trains with meticulous precision, experiences that taught him to value the creative process itself. This mindset, combined with influences from his great uncles Sigmund Freud and Edward Bernays, formed the analytical and creative thinking that would shape Netflix's approach. The early Netflix team embodied scrappy resourcefulness, operating from a basic office where they prioritized essential equipment over luxuries. This practical approach extended to solving key challenges, from negotiating with data collector Michael Erlewine for movie information to perfecting their DVD mailer design through iterative prototypes. Netflix's distinctive culture emerged from Mark's emphasis on autonomy and responsibility, much like wilderness expeditions where team members must navigate challenges independently. This philosophy created the foundation for Netflix's renowned freedom and responsibility culture. On April 14, 1998, Netflix went live. The team planned to ring a bell for each order, expecting a slow trickle. Instead, within 15 minutes, they received more orders than anticipated for the entire day. The server struggled with unexpected traffic, requiring immediate capacity upgrades. As orders accumulated, the team rushed to fulfill them, locating, packaging, and shipping DVDs before the post office's closing time. Like building a plane while flying it, they worked frantically to solve problems in real time, making a last-minute dash to the post office to keep their same-day shipping promise. This launch exemplifies the crucial startup transition when theory meets reality. No planning can fully prepare for real customer engagement. Success hinges not on perfect preparation, but on adaptability when plans go awry. The moment was remarkably ordinary. No dramatic fanfare, just a small team solving immediate problems, unknowingly laying the foundation for a revolution in entertainment consumption. 8 weeks after launch, Netflix struggled with low rental numbers despite strong DVD sales. The team responded by boosting marketing and partnering with DVD player manufacturers to include rental coupons with new players. Financial pressures intensified, affecting both business and personal decisions, including Mark's ability to afford his children's private schooling. When Amazon expressed interest in acquiring Netflix, Mark and Reed declined, believing in their company's greater potential. This challenging period catalyzed Netflix's crucial pivot, abandoning a la carte rentals for an all-subscription model. By February 2000, guided by the Canada Principle, would you include this feature if starting fresh? The company channeled all resources into subscription services. The subscription model transformed Netflix's delivery limitations into advantages by emphasizing selection and convenience over speed. It also enabled Cinematch, their recommendation algorithm, which used customer feedback to deliver personalized suggestions, making personalization central to Netflix's success. As Netflix grew, the leadership dynamic between Mark and Reed evolved significantly. In a pivotal meeting, Reed presented a candid evaluation highlighting the company's struggles and Mark's leadership limitations. He proposed a restructuring. Reed would become CEO, with Mark remaining as president. After careful consideration, Mark accepted the proposal, exemplifying the humility required in leadership and recognizing when someone else might better serve the company's needs. The new arrangement leveraged their complementary skills. Reed handled financial and operational matters, while Mark focused on customer experience and creative direction. During this transition, Patty McCord played a crucial role in scaling Netflix's unique culture. Her approach eliminated cumbersome HR systems in favor of common-sense policies balancing freedom with responsibility. By advocating for unlimited vacation days and streamlined expense processes, she cultivated a culture of trust and accountability that became a Netflix hallmark. Despite growth and formalization, efforts were made to preserve the company's quirky spirit. Themed dress-up days, office games, and competitions kept the atmosphere lively. The leadership team embraced radical honesty and trust, creating an environment where difficult conversations could happen openly. As Mark notes, "We built a culture where the best idea wins, not the loudest voice or the highest title." In a now legendary Silicon Valley moment, Netflix's leadership team pitched a merger to Blockbuster, hoping to combine their online expertise with Blockbuster's brand power. When Reed Hastings proposed $50 million for Netflix, Blockbuster's CEO John Antioco could barely contain his laughter, leaving Mark feeling deeply humiliated. This rejection, coupled with the dot-com bubble burst, forced Netflix to innovate independently. The company adopted what Mark calls barnacle scraping, eliminating unnecessary features and expenses to streamline operations. By focusing solely on their subscription model and core competencies, Netflix developed a sustainable business model that could weather the economic downturn. Within a decade, Blockbuster would file for bankruptcy, while Netflix thrived, a reversal that demonstrated how rejection from industry giants can become a blessing, forcing startups to forge their own innovative path rather than seeking validation from established players. By late 2001, Netflix had surpassed 1 million subscribers, improved operations, and began positioning for the digital future. As the company approached its IPO, Mark recognized his passion lay in early-stage building rather than public company management. "I'm not a public company guy," he explains. "I love the early stages, the messy, creative chaos of building something new." He stepped back while maintaining his financial stake and relationship with Netflix. Netflix's journey reveals that success emerges from persistence, adaptation, and challenging conventional wisdom. Rather than entrepreneurial epiphanies, the company's evolution demonstrates the value of methodical experimentation and data-driven pivots. The company's focus became its superpower. Abandoning DVD sales and a la carte rentals for subscriptions showed how eliminating distractions could sharpen a value proposition. This prioritization enabled Netflix to dominate its chosen niche. The phrase, "that will never work," followed Netflix from its DVD by mail concept through streaming and original content production. Each time, the company proved skeptics wrong through thoughtful adaptation and execution, showing that innovation often appears impossible until it becomes inevitable.